This is Digital Dave, and I'm joined by Christina Bowman-Jones, her daughter Kimmy, and friend Ricky. How you guys doing today?
We're good. Great.
We're here to talk about some charitable foreign foundations that you guys are forming in Gordon's name.
Yes, it should be up and running in the next month or so. And basically, it will be the Gobo Joe Foundation. Gobo Joe for Gordon Bowman Jones.
I hate to say, but that sounds like a hand soap.
It's catchy, though.
it comes right off beautifully, and it will not be forgotten.
Yes. So it was what we did informally all these years, basically nurturing the airshow industry. And it will be one part of it will be the Rising Star program. So we are looking at prospects for that, pilots, other announcers who are trying to get into the industry. And it would be a foundation that would be helping them get into the airshow industry.
Well, especially I would think from an announcer standpoint, I mean, obviously you got to have talent and everything, but it's more knowing the people, knowing the connections, getting yourself out there. That's the harder part.
Yes, going to ICAS, getting introduced to everybody at ICAS, going to the parties. Well, we know all about that.
I wouldn't know about that.
Oh, yes, you would.
I can imagine. So you're nurturing the airshow industry from all aspects.
Correct.
Pilots. I mean, everybody thinks pilots, and there's not that many pilots out there. So, yeah, that's a big deal, too.
Yes. Gordon did that all the time. I mean, I've had other pilots, Jim Leroy and the Pembertons. Melissa actually lived right behind us. So she would come down and Gordon would talk to her as far as what to do next and how she should formulate things. And it's just continuing, but formalizing everything and getting funding. I've already had people pledge and they don't even know where to send the money yet because we don't have the 501c3 set up yet, but it will be. The attorneys
will
are working on it. Yes, it will be up and running. And there's also his book that will help fund that as well.
Okay, and that's not out yet, but will be out.
Yes, it's unedited right now, and I think we have
just like Gordon.
Chapters.
Unedited.
Unedited.
Raw.
Yes. Raw. It's very raw.
I think as far as the general public goes, I think people don't necessarily know how small the airshow community is. And it is really hard to break in. And it takes people a very long time and just to get those connections and to get to know, you know, who the best people are to know. And I think that my mom and Gordon had, they just know everyone. And they're very social creatures. So it definitely helps.
One thing I've seen, my brother announces air shows too, and he has, like you said, he's not been able to break into the big leagues, if you want to call it that. A lot of promoters, air show promoters, don't consider an air show announcer a performer. But he is a huge part of the show, a huge part of making it a success for the crowd.
I mean, it can make or break it.
Right, right.
You know?
It also continues it, because one of the things that we always did was we didn't just look at the actual acts. We also looked at all the sponsors. We got to know the sponsors. We also got to know the vendors. I would actually go out into the audience and say, okay, what is he selling? Let's see, they're selling snow cones. What are the flavors? You know, so I would go sure. back to Gordon and say, they have all these flavors.
Right.
And also say, who was at the stand? I'll say, Michael is there selling these. And so I would take notes and get to know.
A lot more homework than you'd think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I always like to say, without an announcer, it's just a bunch of airplanes flying around.
Right. I think that it's also a legacy thing, you know, because I think that Gordon and Sean Tucker and all these people in the airshow industry, just being a 20-something myself, I see that we need a new generation of younger people.
I totally agree. The last airshow I just worked earlier this year, the announcer said, I'm retiring. I'm done. He said, I will keep this one air show because it's local to where he lives. But he said, that's it.
Right.
So, and there aren't that many young and up and coming announcers.
Well, I think that there's a lack of people going out there and looking for people who are actually really driven by the air show business. So I think it's a great idea to kind of continue Gordon's legacy in that way and to go looking for young people who are actually interested in it, who want to, but don't necessarily have the connections.
They say the number one fear is public speaking. So
yes.
You've got to
get
over that.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, so. Especially when you've got 100,000 people listening.
But also for the pilots, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to put together their demo tapes. And I have the connections for people who do that all day long. They've been doing it for years. And I could just make one phone call and ask, you know, could you help us out? for the foundation. Okay. And they would easily say, yes, I know.
You are a place to go for
right.
the rising
it's very,
star.
It's very, very particular.
Yes.
So.
It is.
Okay, and then you're doing another foundation too.
Yes, on Dive Heart. It was very dear to Gordon and I. We met them a few years ago at the Cozumel Air Show. And what they do is they do adaptive diving for wounded warriors, paraplegics, quadriplegics, and they take them down scuba diving. And actually, Ricky is an adaptive buddy. She got certified last May, and I will get certified in December. And it's quite interesting to have zero gravity for somebody who has, you know, never, who's wheelchair, you know, bound and is actually able to scuba dive, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
The freedom that gives them must be amazing.
Words can't explain what you felt like, Ricky, right? When we were down there with a quadriplegic or paraplegic.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. It was a really beautiful experience to be diving with these people, and they live their whole lives with pain. Some of these people have been born into wheelchairs. Others have gotten into terrible car accidents, you know, in their early 20s. Now they're, they were in their 40s, mm-hmm. right? So they've been living with these disabilities for the majority of their lives. And just to hear them, their experience of it going down there and feeling no pain and weightless and actually being able to move on their own for the first time, you know, because we have for people who are paraplegic who maybe only have use of their hands, we have fins, like gloves that are fins, so actually they can move themselves around the water.
Yeah, they can swim.
Right, they can move around. You know, they're not confined to a wheelchair anymore.
The feeling of not being dependent on someone else.
Exactly.
Right, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
But we're there to help them regulate and make sure they're okay. So
right.
We have a team of, you know, 3 or 4 people. And observers, so there's a lot of people there.
Well, you're out of your element, and you got to respect it.
Yes, so. It was pretty amazing.
I think that Dive Heart really tries to concentrate on the scuba therapy side of things, as seeing scuba as a therapy for people not only physically but also mentally, and it's a very can-do attitude. I mean, there's, you know, Joe who's in a wheelchair can now become Joe who scuba dives, and that's a completely different identity, and it really gives a new confidence and a new freedom and optimism to people who don't have it in their day-to-day lives.
Now, are these dives just to dive, or do you explore reefs or shipwrecks or anything? I mean, imagine it might be a little too dangerous to drag someone through a shipwreck, but
No, not at all. We do wreck dives, do everything, go diving through caves. It's all about whether they're comfortable or not.
Okay.
We go through a briefing before the dive, like, hey, we're going to do some cave diving. When we get down there, I'm going to ask you if you're comfortable with it. Like, well, when you're underwater, you'll communicate via hand signals, and if they're comfortable with it, then we'll go. And if not, then we'll take another team with them, and we'll go an alternate route.
So you have contingencies already thought out?
Yes, everything's already planned out before we go
yes.
underwater.
Basically, Ricky had to go through, and I'm going to go through, what they call empathy training.
You actually helped me with my
yes,
training. You
yes.
were my blind dummy.
I was the blind person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's got to be an unusual experience for them, too.
Yes.
It's got to be tactile.
Yeah. She led me all around the hotel blindfolded and told me when to step, when to take another step, to go right or left, to... It was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to do that as kids as a game.
Right.
Blindfold somebody and lead them around trying to see if they could figure out where they were.
Right.
Well, that's... how long have you been working with Dive Heart?
For over a year now. We did a fundraiser in San Francisco in the aquarium, and they demoed the actual skill in the tank in San Francisco last October.
Wow.
You know, and Dive Heart is for everybody. It's for children, it's for adults, it's for veterans, it's for anyone who wants to experience scuba therapy.
We're wow. hoping to have him here next year. Jim Elliott is the founder, and they're actually based in Schaumburg.
That's not yeah. far at all. Yeah, suburb of Chicago.
Yes,
yep.
Exactly.
Cool.
So we're very
You have to leave the
excited.
Left coast, though.
Well, not we go to all coasts. You know, they take several trips a year. There's about 4 to 6 trips a year that go to Cozumel several times, that go to the Keys. So it's a whole experience
Cayman.
For everyone.
Cayman, you know? Too. They went mm-hmm. to the Cayman.
Wow. You've never dived the East Coast, though. I mean, the water there is kind of murky. But
I wouldn't do it personally.
No,
but,
yeah. I don't like cold water.
Yeah, what?
What do you mean? Pacific's a lot colder.
Well, you did your training. Ricky did her training in Monterey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I did all my paddy certification in Monterey. That was really cold.
Yeah. Did you have a dry suit?
No.
Oh.
I did mine there, too.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
but
freezing.
If you can do Monterey, you can dive anywhere.
Oh, yes. If you can handle the cold water. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never scuba dived. I whitewater rafted once in 38 degree water.
Did you fall in?
Twice.
Oh.
Let's put it this way.
That's chilly.
The day we went, the river was 11 feet above normal. We did a 6-hour raft trip in 2.5 hours. That's how fast it was running.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no banks. It was up into the trees on either side of the river.
Wow. Well, we did everything. We did rafting. We did skydiving. We did, we're going ziplining actually for my birthday. It's coming up on
cool.
the
Where's that?
25th. Colorado, Durango.
And how long is the zipline? Like 3 miles or something?
Something like that.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
It's 27 circuits.
You have to stop and have lunch.
Yeah, we will, in the trees.
In the trees, we're going to have lunch in the trees.
Oh, my goodness. You're yelling at the guy going on the next line, where's the bathroom?
Yeah.
Gordon will be there with us.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
He's done this circuit, so it's...
Wow. How do I find out more about Dive Heart?
They're online, diveheart.org.
Okay. And also Rising Star. You will be online when you're set up.
Yes, it'll be gobojo.com.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That GoBojo.
Yeah, GoBojo. That's so cool.
I actually just purchased a Carver, a 36 Carver motor yacht in Sausalito.
Oh.
And it had no name, so it was so appropriate to call her. We're going to christen her GoBojo.
Very cool. Very cool. I'll be out. Just kidding.
No, you're invited. You're invited. We also have the sailboat as well, so we'll be using that.
Both these organizations were something that was so close. They were both so close to Gordon's heart. And I think that that's really what we're going for. We really want to continue his legacy and to give something to remember him by. And he was such an original person and so much larger than life.
Yeah, that's certainly the way to describe him.
He was definitely one of a kind.
But you know what, though? He was very down to earth, very approachable. When we first started this radio station, it was literally three of us in a room reading out of Air Adventure Today. And he helped us with interviews and he helped. Don gave some of his interviews,
mm-hmm.
and he was just such a great guy. You know, we didn't even know what we were doing.
Right.
We had a little radio
always so
check,
willing,
board.
and his accent exactly. made him seem so professional.
Oh my God! You know?
Yeah,
he could curse you out, and you'd be happy.
Yep,
he'd be like, "That
thank
was
you.
That was wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do it again.
Can you read the phone book to me?
Oh yeah, exactly. Oh, that's funny. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.